Support for this podcast comes from the UTSA Institute of Texan Cultures. For more than 50 years, the museum has told stories of Texas history and heritage from diverse cultures that define the state's unique character. Details at texancultures.com.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The only tool that we have right now to fight the spread of COVID-19 is social distancing. Science tells us there's nothing special in a house of worship that prevents the transmission of a virus. Yet Governor Abbott's statewide stay-at-home order exempts religious services, allowing houses of worship to convene in-person services. This order overruled guidelines issued by local governments like San Antonio, which had prohibited religious facilities from holding in-person services. It is deemed that houses of worship are essential during a pandemic. What are your thoughts about that? What are you doing? What are you seeing at your local house of worship? Have you spoken to faith leaders? The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Email us at thesource@tpr.org. Tweet at us at TPRSource. We're joined by Kia Collier, reporter with ProPublica and the Texas Tribune's investigative unit. Kia Collier, welcome to The Source.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And also with us, Viana Davila, investigative reporter for ProPublica and the Texas Tribune. Viana, welcome back to The Source.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
So tell me more about the this order that we have from Greg Abbott. There's a lot in there. I know I kind of gave a really simplified version on top here. So, Kia, give us everything that's in there.
Well, it's a little bit. You know, I think there's some clarity that local governments are trying to get because it, you know, it does say that, you know, while it does say that religious services are essential, I mean, it also says they need to be conducted online if at all possible. And, you know, that if, you know, congregants do come, that they need to adhere to social distancing guidelines. But it wasn't terribly clear, and I think they got a lot of questions, and the attorney general, in conjunction with the governor's office later on last Wednesday, had to put out this, you know, guidance with further information. But that, again, was not clear. I tried to get clarity from the governor's office on whether, you know, the 10-person limit applied, you know, to those religious gatherings, but it doesn't appear that it does. But I think some local officials are, you know, I guess still probably analyzing the governor's order and trying to decide what to do because, you know, the guidance from, you know, the federal level is pretty clear about what we need to be doing. And this really creates the way for, you know, huge exceptions. And we know of a lot of churches now across the state that are still holding services and potentially not even, you know, requiring people to stay 6 feet apart or wear, you know, these masks that the CDC says we now need to consider doing.
Viana Davila, there's a lot of must. The churches must use online if possible. They must practice mm-hmm. social distancing. A lot of must in the order, but it doesn't seem like there's any teeth into those must. It's still pretty much up to the local pastor, priest, or whatever religious authority you have. They can decide on their own what they want to do, and there's no one really to tell them otherwise. Is that really the reality of what's happening here?
I mean, I think Kia alluded to that, this idea of, you know, it says must in some of the guidance, but then there's still seems to be a door open to religious communities continuing to hold their services in some way. And I think if you look at the orders of a city like San Antonio and Bexar County, you know, their orders, there was no sort of, you know, you can still do this, but you need to be 6 feet apart. It was, you cannot do this. You should not do this. And even with the best of intentions, I was reading a story in the Express News about Sutherland Springs, the church where that horrible mass shooting happened a couple of years ago. They had services this Sunday. And while, you know, some people sat apart, many people didn't. And people were hugging and things like that. They were handing out paper flyers. So even if the AG is saying, look, we do think that you should have 6 feet of space if you're going to do this, I think it shows how easily those kinds of measures don't actually happen in reality.
Sutherland Springs had a mass shooting in November of 2018 where 26 people were gunned down. Let's go to Stephen on the phones. And Stephen, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I'm a Methodist pastor on the northwest side of San Antonio. And we decided 3 weeks ago to discontinue our public worship services and to move everything online. And I did that in conjunction with conversations I had with doctors in our congregation, in particular one woman who was a professor at the medical school. And she was very helpful for me in helping understand that in order to so-called flatten the curve, we needed to help people remain physically distant from one another. And so first Sunday, we did it simple, and we've progressed on through. And out of love, saying that the most loving thing we can do at this time is to discontinue public worship services. So we've moved everything online.
Stephen, I got a couple of questions for you. Number one, if you're running a church and you're not having services, you're not putting out the collection plate. Does this put churches in an unusual and difficult financial bind?
Sure it does. Sure it does. We're fortunate that a large percentage of our giving already came online, and so people were giving online. And so we are encouraging people to continue to be giving online if they are able to. But we're also being really intentional about focusing on the ministry of the church. This is a time for the church to be stepping up and be the loving presence of God in the community. And so we are working with a local food bank in Bernie to help make sure that we are helping provide food and utilities and providing significant financial resources. And I think when people know that the church is continuing to do the work that it's called to, of caring for people, particularly the most vulnerable, that people will give and give in generous ways to help the church continue to do its work.
And Stephen, another question for you. Help me understand maybe the mindset of some people. They are devout. They are true believers. They have a tremendous amount of faith in their religion, and they believe that they're going to be protected from the spread of the virus because of their belief. You know, the stories in the Bible about Jesus healing people, they really take that to heart. Do some people, do you think that in a church setting that there becomes this really necessary, the social currency of demonstrating your faith, and they will take unnecessary risk in order to demonstrate that?
I think if the religious leaders push them that way, they may do that. But I think if we as religious leaders can be very intentional about saying this is the right loving thing to do, then our congregations will follow us. So this is the time for people to be real leaders. You know, I believe that God is at work in this world, but God also asked me to take some responsibility. And so my faith calls me to take action at this point, and that action is not holding public worship services out of love for the community that we serve.
Stephen, thank you for calling in. Appreciate your input here. I'm going to another caller. This is Ronica. And Ronica, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi. Right now, I'm very concerned, you know, about the fact that the people are not practicing social distancing, especially here in Texas. And I've been hearing, I heard the story about the Florida, I think, pastor who had gotten arrested because he openly dared to disobey the stay-at-home directives. And thus, a lot of people getting infected, and also people at the at that choral practice, I think, in Washington State also got infected because they refused to obey the stay-in-place orders. And my question is, considering the fact that the governor has overruled towns and cities here in Texas on ordering their citizens to stay at home. Can cities, towns, and counties still issue their own stay-at-home orders despite Governor Abbott's directive?
Ronnie, thank you for the call. Kia Collier with ProPublica and Texas Tribune. Who has the authority here?
Yeah, so Governor Abbott's order was very specific that it superseded any state and local orders. But again, it was kind of up for interpretation if you go online and read his executive order and then also the guidance provided later by his office and by the Attorney General. It's a little bit unclear. I mean, it really strongly advises churches to move online and not meet in person. But it also says, they're essential services. And last week when we were reporting on this, county and city officials that we spoke with were saying, we're reading this order closely, trying to figure out how to interpret it, speaking with lawyers, because I think that they were, the San Antonio mayor, Ron Nuremberg, said, it was concerning. And of course, a lot of these larger counties had already enacted, shelter in place orders that said churches were not essential. And one thing I've been thinking about as I listen to the conversation is that people should know that Texas is not the only state to do this. And tons of other states have, I think it's close to maybe 20 now, including states that, have an enormous amount of COVID-19 cases, including New York and, states that are led by Democratic governors rather than Republican. And I think why that is, one reason why that is because this raises constitutional issues, First Amendment, freedom of religion. And I think states are really reticent to, tread on that and, deny people their freedom to exercise their religion. So it's not just a Texas thing.
All right. Well, when we come back from the break, we'll continue our discussion about houses of worship and how they are deemed essential. We would love to hear from anyone who has a take on the constitutional question here. We do know that during a time of pandemic, the government has extraordinary power to override some of these rights. And so those are things are put into question. The number is 833-878-2255. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about houses of worship and how they have been deemed to be essential by Governor Abbott during the pandemic. His decision overrode the declaration by San Antonio Mayor Ron Nuremberg, County Judge Nelson Wolf. And we do have some churches locally that are not open. We Catholic Church here in San Antonio during Holy Week, they are not open. They're putting many of their services online. Typically on Friday, we have a beautiful, tremendous tradition of Passion Play in downtown San Antonio by San Fernando Cathedral, where it is a one of the oldest, most dramatic recreations of the story of the crucifixion. And we're not going to have it this year. They canceled it because of concerns about crowds and the spreading of COVID-19. And they want to maintain social distancing because they know that's what's in the best interest of the community right now with the spread of a disease for which there is no treatment and there is no vaccine. So how do we move forward? How do we balance the need for people to have social interaction and religious spiritual nourishment in a church setting while also making sure that the entire community is not put at risk? You can call in. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And let me go to Mark on the phones. Mark, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey there. I am a pastor. I'm actually in the Dallas area. And I would argue against the point that the lady made or was trying to say that some states had made the issue that churches are not essential. I would argue that we are essential, but it's not essential that we meet in person. Nothing in Scripture says that it's crucial that people must congregate together in order to be a faithful follower of Christ. But what Christ did prescribe is that to love God and love neighbor as self. This situation is somehow being put in the realm of personal choice. The disease is not like any others. People can pass it on without contact, and so It's not that I'm making a personal choice in this matter whether to worship or not. I am caring for my fellow human being and other worshipers by not coming and by holding our worship online.
Mark, thank you for your call. We do appreciate your input there. Viana Davila with ProPublica and the Texas Tribune. Places where people gather, whether it be at an NBA game or at the Fiesta or Mardi Gras, these are called super spreader events, where if you have one person in the crowd who has a tested positive, is a carrier of a disease like COVID-19, then they have a highly likeliness of being able to spread it to multiple people. And churches fall into that category of super spreaders. We've seen that around the world already, particularly in South Korea, that's how it spreads so quickly in those areas. Is that what the scientists are looking at, Viana?
I mean, yeah, essentially they're looking at, any way to cut down. I mean, it's the reason why we're all staying at home, right? It's to try to reduce sort of putting vectors out into the community, because so many of us may not even show symptoms, or we're not showing them yet, if ever. So you're trying to reduce those vector touch points. It's probably not a very scientific way of saying it. I think you said it quite well, that the Passion Play is canceled, right, for this Friday. And I'm from San Antonio, and I know what an integral part that is of the city. And in the letter that the Mayor of Nuremberg and County Judge Wolf sent to the religious community in San Antonio last week, they said our faith community is so much a part of San Antonio's basic nature. I mean, I think there is a sense that science right now is, I think what that pastor said it quite well just a second ago. It's not that they're saying faith isn't essential. They're saying that the need to meet in person is the part that's not essential. But I would add, for one of the folks that I talked to for a little sidebar, she operates a church on the east side of San Antonio, where much of what she does isn't about the services. It's about providing food to homeless people, or they come in on Sundays, folks come in on Sundays, and they get food because that's their only source of food that day. And so in her mind, she said, well, it's a choice between starvation and the virus, like, you know, potentially fending off the virus. And so if the virus doesn't kill them, starvation will.
Sure, but it's not an and or kind of a thing. I mean, you can do the handing out of food and providing these essential services under ways of, you know, with mask and social distancing, all sorts of things that you can do in order to minimize the risk for the people who need those services. Now, we're seeing, like you mentioned, Viana, what's happening at Sutherland Springs, that church there, which we saw the mass shooting, when they had their services, many people are not abiding by those social distancing rules. And then they go home, and they go into the community, and maybe they're becoming spreaders, super spreaders.
Right. I mean, that's obviously the fear. I just think that it is an interesting, it just shows sort of the tension for some people. I mean, I think this woman I talked to, she, I can't remember if this was in the story, but she was wearing gloves and things of that sort. She was sending people with food, but I think she's still of the mindset of the physical part of the work I do, meaning being open for business and not just streaming, which, by the way, she doesn't have the capability to do. She said, I'm not going to stop that because I feel like these people need my help. So, I mean, I just think it's complicated.
It is. And so let's go to another caller. Kino, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, yeah, I was going to reiterate. Well, she kind of said what I was going to say about the other services that churches provide. And I think that's where it does get extremely complicated, because these are people who, you know, they might not be connected to the internet. They might not even have cars. They might not even be able to, like, there's just so many different situations that churches kind of help out with, you know, like how churches started a lot of hospitals and other charities. They really do connect, like, the neediest people. So it's tough to navigate. But definitely, I think they should be mindful of, you know, when it comes to the large services and things like that. But that's such a, I think, a small part, but definitely on that end, there has to be some more mindfulness, I think.
Kino, thank you for your call. Good point. Appreciate that. Tabitha is on the line. Tabitha, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. So I think people need to
kind of pump the brakes on thinking that their rights are being treaded on as far as church being deemed essential or non-essential. I think a better approach would be, you know, we're not supposed to assemble right now in these large groups, so churches need to think of a better way to serve their community in ways that keep people safe. Just like schools had to think of ways to still educate the children, churches need to think of ways to keep people safe while still performing their functions. And I think that's very possible.
All right, Tabitha, thank you. So Kia Collier with ProPublica, Texas Tribune. We are seeing some churches, mosques and other synagogues getting very creative, trying to drive through or drive up services, all sorts of ways to trying to maintain social distancing and still provide faith.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think one question here, you know, it's unclear how many churches are and houses of worship are still welcoming parishioners in person. You know, by all indications, it's not that many. I mean, most major churches, most churches we reached out to, you know, the archdiocese and of various areas in the state had, you know, issued guidance saying you need to do things online. I think it's just kind of potentially a small group of, you know, churches who are, you know, like Bianca said, providing essential services, and also, you know, particularly evangelical Christians, you know, churches that are incredibly devout. And, you know, one pastor I spoke to said, you know, we are first responders. You know, talked about a woman who was having a really difficult time with health issues and then being isolated in her home during the pandemic and was feeling very suicidal. And he said, we had this in-person service and she came and we prayed for her and made her feel, you know, better. There's that view. You know, there's also, you know, I was going to say, you asked about, you know, scientists. And one thing you'll hear from, you know, pastors and others who are holding events is, one, that the Bible does tell them that they need, you know, to congregate. And two, that they, you know, need to provide, you know, these in-person services, and that, you know, it's kind of, I guess, compared to a liquor store, which are, you know, these county orders that they were challenging.
Or a gun store.
Stores are deemed essential. Yeah, or gun stores, right? And so they're saying, why is a liquor store deemed essential and yet a church is not? But scientists, you know, say that it's the nature of these church services that make them potentially super spreading events. And there's, you know, you're singing, you're hugging, you're, you know, potentially spitting, you know, into the air. You're in close proximity to people. And there are examples across the globe at this point of spreading events in houses of worship.
Right. And that created the bloom of the disease. And that's one of the reasons why the curve is not being flattened. One more caller. This is the last one. Akeem, welcome to The Source. Akeem, you're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to make the comment that it boils down to this. COVID-19 does not discriminate. It doesn't discriminate whether you're a church, whether you are a gym, whether you are any sort of place where a large amount of people gather. COVID-19 does not care. That's the whole reason why everybody is supposed to stay at home during this period of time. I'm not against people getting together in a safe way to offer service or support, but to do it on a large level where there's large groups of people, COVID-19 doesn't see the difference.
Right. Akeem, thank you for the call. We are out of time. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Bianca Davila, investigative reporter for ProPublica, Texas Tribune. Kia Collier, reporter with ProPublica and Texas Tribune's investigative unit. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Ken Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia. Dan Katz is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.